If you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke chapter, he was all over this, but I told him, I said, well, God is good. I tried to get away from this, and Lord's dealt with me for a long time to preach this, and it's not exactly the way he preached it. See, God's got a way of this being a living word. It's not that he preaches better or worse, or I preach better or worse. It's just what God's give us. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. If you found your place, and you can, if you will, stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you at this time. We thank you for this day and the opportunity to stand once again. Father, we love you, and we thank you most of all for our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and that he did for us there on Calvary's cruel tree. Oh, Lord, we just got many need represented here tonight. Those that's heard that C word, that cancer, Lord, we ask that you just deal with their lives and deal gently and kindly. Lord, if it be thy will, heal, and we'll be sure to thank you. Lord, we thank you for our pastor. Oh, him allowing us this opportunity to stand. And Lord, we don't take it for granted, but we thank you for it and thank him for it tonight. And Lord, we ask that you just touch his throat, touch his voice, and Lord, help him and give him peace as he has to take care of himself. Lord, we thank you for the deacons here and each one it takes to make this place up. Now take us and use us. Preach what is thy sweet and holy will. We'll give you the honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now tonight, if you need a title for this message, it would go like this. Some things hell has, the church needs. You've probably never heard anything preached just exactly like this. But there is definitely some things in hell that the church needs. There's some people in hell that the church needs. The first thing we really need to get a hold of tonight, that hell is real. Heaven's real and hell is real. And it says Lazarus was a poor beggar. And in his life, I was full of troubles and needs, and he laid at the gate of this rich man. And he begged the crumbs that fell from his table that he might sustain his body and his life. Not only that, but he was a sickly person. He had physical ailments that the dogs came and licked his very sores. I don't know about you, but I've never found myself in that situation. I've never seen anyone quite in that situation. But that's a pitiful situation for a person to find themselves in. Now, the parallel that we're going to park on this is that some folks spiritually are in the same situation that Lazarus was in there. Spiritually, their life is a wreck. Spiritually, they're starving to death. Spiritually, they're weak and sickly. But I want us to notice something else in the beginning of this scripture is that this rich man died, and in hell he lifted his eyes up, being in torments. Now, that's not just one torment, but he's in torments.
That's right.
Now, folks, I want us to get a hold of this. This is not a parable. A parable don't give specific names and specific places. But this names specific names. Lazarus, Abraham, the bosom of Abraham, and hell.
That's right.
Not only that, it mentions the rich man's gate, a specific place. So this is real. This is an account. It's not a parable. It's not something that Jesus just made up to make a point. This really happened. And it's still happening today. Church, I want you to get a hold of this tonight. If we could lift a portal off of hell right here in this very aisle, we could hear that very rich man screaming, being tormented, and begging for mercy in hell tonight. He's right there tonight, just like he was some 2,000 years ago. That rich man is right there in hell tonight. It's that real.
That's right. You're right, preacher.
It's not a fairy tale.
That's right.
And so many times, so many people get it in their mind, and somehow or another we get lulled into thinking hell is not that real. But it's real. It's just as real as that pew you're sitting on. It's as real as this building that we're in.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
And it is the destination of the soul that does not surrender to Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Right.
So you can say, we know that's real. All right, did you know heaven's real? And in this point in time, paradise was Abraham's bosom. But it's been moved since to the third heaven. It's where Jesus is. Jesus went and led the captivity captive. In other words, he took them to where he's at. So heaven and hell are real places. That should spur us on to getting real about our work as a child of God. Our work as a member of the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. What is our job? Reaching the lost for Jesus.
Right.
As we look on in this scripture here, you say, what is it that we need that hell has? As this rich man lifted his eyes up, he could look across that great gulf and he could see Lazarus laying there in Abraham's bosom being comforted. And he said to Abraham, he says, send him that he might just give me a little comfort. Not just a drink of water, but just a drop of water off the very tip of his tongue. You see, his first concern was just get a little relief. And there is no relief. Folks, that's a message that we need to be taking out to this lost and dying world. Hell's real and there's no relief.
That's right.
And then the second thing he said is, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. This may sting a little bit. It may get us thinking a little bit about what's going on. But his next priorities is prayer.
That's right.
It's prayer. I'm talking about begging and earnestly pleading. Father Abraham, I pray thee, send somebody to my father's house. What does hell have that the church needs? Hell is full of people praying for their friends and their loved ones or that they've left behind? Did they not come to this awful place called hell? Hey, hell is full of people that are praying tonight. Help my loved ones. Help my friends. Let them understand what's on this side. Help them, Lord. And don't let them come here. This is awful.
You're right.
Don't let them come to this awful place. So the first thing we see is hell is full of prayer warriors.
Amen.
I want you to know tonight, and I guarantee you, Josh, to say amen to this. Rhonda Tabernacle needs some prayer warriors.
Right.
Hey, to pray for him. Like Doug preached last Wednesday night. Hold his arms up when he gets tired. Say, preacher, I'm behind you. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. And when you mount the pulpit, God will take you and use you in a mighty and a miraculous way. Oh, preacher, I'm going to pray for you that souls can get saved and not have to go to that awful place called hell. Not only that, but we need to be praying for our families and our friends and our acquaintances that they'll get saved before it's everlastingly too late.
Amen.
Yes.
You see, they done something that we all going to have to do. If the Lord don't come and take us away in the rapture, they died. And once they died, Johnny, that's it.
That's it.
There ain't no do-overs. There ain't no second chances. The way it is the way it is.
Yes.
We need some people on this side praying for people that still got a chance, that they might feel the wooing of the Holy Spirit down deep in their heart, that their heart jump up in their throat and they realize their lost condition.
Amen.
So that they can get saved. We need people praying 24/7. You say, preacher, I just can't go in my prayer closet and stay there all the time. I would starve to death. I got other things I need to do. Prayer's not only just bending your knees, but it's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart. We can be going down the 421 running 65 miles an hour and be a prey. And asking the Lord to touch. The Lord to say, hey, I want to tell you something. I want to be honest with you. That night that I found out that I had kidney cancer, brothers and sisters, there's some praying went on that night. That got serious. And I was serious about that thing. Hey, any of those that knew it was serious about it. We was praying and earnestly begging God to take control of that situation. You see, though, what was going on there weren't as serious as one that's lost over here and about to dive off head first into the flames of hell. I'm born again. I know that and the Lord knows that. You may not know that, but I know that and the Lord knows that. So I was all right as far as my soul was concerned. But the real immediate need is those souls that's never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If He takes their life on the next trip down the road or the next time they turn around or they go to bed and they never wake up. Their soul is of utmost importance. We need to be a praying for those souls that's lost.
Yes, preacher.
Rather than take an I don't care attitude.
That's right.
Hey, we need to get down and earnestly. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe we need more people in God's house, in God's family that says, I'll take time to care and to pray for those lost ones.
Yes.
They might be born again. I want to honestly be honest with you and frank with you. When we get in heaven, those of us that's born again, when we get in heaven, we're going to know who's there. I'm going to know Robert. He says, we shall be known as we were known. In other words, I'll know Robert. I'll know Josh. I'll know Johnny. I'll know Kathy and Lois. I'll know all those that's born again and over there in glory. And we can rejoice and have a wonderful time. But there is a period of time that we're going to see those loved ones.
Yes.
They're lost. Stand before the great white throne of judgment and be condemned to everlasting fire, to the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. You know what I think? I think we're going to realize every moment that we wasted when we could be a pleading for their cause. At that point in time, I believe we're going to have tears running down our face. That was my friend. I loved him. I loved her. And here they are about to wind up in the devil's hell because I did not pray. So what we need that hell has, we need somebody that's willing to pray. We need some prayer warriors in the family of God that get down to serious business on the behalf of the lost and beg for one more chance, one more opportunity. God just soften their heart that they might get under the preached Word of God, where good, sweet conviction can show them their loss so they can get saved. And there's something else we need that hell has. For I have five brethren, in verse 28. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Folks, we need more missionary-minded people. Say, preacher, I can't roll up the shop, lock the doors, and take off overseas. Hey, America, Rhonda, Wilkes County is one of the biggest mission fields you've ever seen. And one of the hardest to reach bunch of people you have ever seen. These missionary work right here at our front door has enough to do every one of us for a lifetime. They've heard the Word of God. They've read their Bibles. Hey, they know a grandma or a grandpa that went to church. And they know the doctrine. Hey, they failed to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they need somebody that'll go to them and tell them, amen, Jesus loves you. Just knowing His Word, knowing the walk, knowing the talk is not enough. You must be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus.
That's right.
You must be born again. There ain't no other way. You must be born again. There's hundreds of people all around this area that need somebody to go and tell them Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Hey, the workplace is a missionary field.
That's right.
Amen. So how do you know that? I've been there. I've heard what goes on. I know how people act. I know how they live. And if I know it, don't think God don't know it. They need to hear somebody that knows enough about Scripture to tell them of their lost condition and then lead them into conviction so that they might get born again.
Right.
So the Lord can deal with their heart. Mm-hmm. You see, God's no respecter of persons. We might say, well, that old person ain't worth saving. But there's never been one that ain't worth saving. There's never been one that ain't worth being saved. A soul is a precious thing. And a soul is eternal. Whether they're saved or whether they're lost, it's eternal. Forever and ever. When God breathed that breath of life in, that's an eternal thing.
Amen.
It's not something that just burns up and goes away. And that's the ones that needs reaching. Our friends and our acquaintances. And tell them, you know, God loves you. Hey, I want to tell you something. Your life can preach one of the strongest messages that's ever been preached. He can bring people so under conviction by your godly ways and your godly attitudes towards one another.
Amen.
And to people we deal with. Have that forgiving and easy spirit about us that they can say, how in the world can you live like that under these conditions? Because I'm born again.
That's right.
And I know one that loves me beyond all measure.
Amen.
He loved me enough to put his hands out and cross his feet and took three old rusty nails and two pieces of wood and built a bridge over hell so I wouldn't have to go there.
Amen.
So we see now the church needs more missionary-minded people. See, the rich man wanted somebody to go back and tell his brothers. Just go tell my brothers so they don't have to come here. This is serious business. This is as serious as it gets. Because once it happens, we can't undo it. There may be some that preaches that there's degrees of hell. And if we pray hard enough, we'll pray them out of hell. It don't work that way. That's not the way it works. It says the rich man closed his eyes in death and then he woke up in hell.
Amen.
The next sight he seen was hell.
That's the book, brother.
We can't get around that. We can't untie that knot. It's been securely tied by God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So don't you know somebody? Don't you know somebody that needs to be prayed for? Don't you know somebody that needs to hear Jesus saves? Don't you know?
Yes, sir.
Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Let me tell you how that equates out. That's your pastor. That's the men that he has stand behind the pulpit. Today, the preachers, the one that's God's call to preach the Word and tell you the truth and lead you towards Jesus and away from this world and old Satan's hold. That's the preached Word of God that he's talking about right there.
Amen.
Bible says it pleases him by the foolishness of preaching that a few might be saved.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. He's talking about these preachers that are doing their best to reach this lost and dying world that has a heart for the lost, that wants to see one more become the family of God, that will have one more brother and sister, that will wire themselves out and run themselves ragged trying to win one more soul for the Lord. That's who he's talking about right there. He's talking about those that carry the gospel message to this lost and dying world. He says, bring them and let them hear the Word.
Amen.
That's what missionaries do. They bring them and let them hear the Word, the preached Word of God. And not only that, but we need some compassionate folks. We need some compassionate folks that cares about people regardless what background they had, where they came from, what color their skin is. And we need some people that care about people. I'm not about people. You ever heard of that? Somebody is a people person. We need some people persons in the family of God. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. You know what he was doing? He was pleading their case. He said, oh, Father Abraham, let's give this a shot. Oh, Lord, let's just send one back from the dead that they can go and tell them. Now, I don't know about you, Robert. I ain't never seen a dead person come back and tell me about the Lord, have you? No. I bet you if they did, it'd convince me, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you if I was lost and one of these old dead preachers or dead deacons come back and said, you need to get saved, I bet you we'd hit the altar, wouldn't we?
As hard as we could go.
That's what that rich man was begging for. Somebody to go back and convince them. Because, Lord, I love them. This is my family. This is my blood. And I don't want them to come to this awful place. How many of you ever heard misery loves company? This is one time it don't. This man's miserable. And he is so miserable that he don't want to see another soul in the misery that he's in. All of a sudden, when he was alive, he wouldn't feed the man laying at the gate that the dogs was licking his sores. All of a sudden, he's wanting him to go back and tell his family about hell.
Amen.
That's compassion.
Amen.
In so much misery, he don't want nobody else to be nowhere near as miserable as he is.
That's right.
You know, we need a compassionate group of people working in the ranks of God. Mm-hmm. Oh, people that love people. Love people that realize hell's real. And it's going to be for eternity. That cares enough to go to them and say, I love your soul. I may hate your old sinful ways, but I love your soul. And I don't want you to be in the misery that rich man's in this very hour.
Yeah.
And when they say, what rich man? Open the scripture up and say, this rich man. For he's there today screaming and howling and begging for mercy.
That's right.
Forever tormented. And never relinquish. You say, preacher, I thought that God loves. God does love. But there are consequences for our actions. And he's done everything that needs to be done for us to be saved from a devil's hell to a heaven's a beautiful home. He's done everything that needs to be done. And the choice is ours. So he don't do it. We do it to ourselves because he gives fair warning. Time and time and time again, a fair warning of this place called hell. There's a lot more hell in the New Testament than there are heaven. Read your Bible. You'll find out. Hell is spoken about a lot more than heaven. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. He said, everything's done that needs to be done. Everything's in place that needs to be in place. He says, it don't need no tweaking. It don't need no improving. But everything's done that needs to be done for your brothers to be saved. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's John 11:25. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but by me. That's the plan. That's the only way. And it's sufficient. Jesus done everything on Calvary's cross that needed to be done for our salvation. And you, in Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, that's the power of Jesus that'll work through you and I to forgive us all of our trespasses. You say, my sin ain't that big. Well, bless your heart. Preacher, I didn't need that much forgiveness. Bless your heart. I did. I know me. I know where I've been. I know what I've done. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It took a love beyond all understanding to forgive this old boy and save his unworthy soul, much less call him into the ministry. That's compassion. That's compassion. He is the life, and he is the resurrection.
Yes, right.
I want to refer to Revelation now. And I can't tell you exactly where the scripture is. Some of you may know it when I speak of it. But John said, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. I want to ask you a question, and you raise your hand if you've seen this. How many of you ever seen a dead person stand? There's a day coming when it'll happen.
Amen.
That's what God's Word said. He said, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. I want to tell you something. He ain't talking about dead physically. He's talking about dead spiritually.
Amen.
Those that have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Jesus says, I am the life.
Yes, he is.
That's right.
And apart from him, there is no life.
Right.
He said, I saw the dead. You know what they were standing there for? For their condemnation.
Sure.
The sentence to be passed and executed. You see, that's why we need these things that hell has. Right here in the church. We need somebody to get down and pray. We need somebody to get out and go and tell. We need somebody that loves people enough to lay it all out on the line and say, the Lord loves you. You say, you might be a man in here and you'll say, well, they think I'm a sissy. I tell you what you do. You take your Bible and stuff it up under their arm and say, go over there and knock on your neighbor's house and then you'll see how big a sissy I really am. It takes a man to tote this word. It takes a woman with strong convictions and a backbone to tote this word. It takes somebody with love in their heart to tote this word. Now, I don't know how it is with you. I don't know how it is with you. Maybe you can say, all my family members are saved. They've been covered by the blood. And I don't need to pray for nobody. Oh, I think you need to dig a little deeper.
Amen.
I think you need to do it just a little farther. You might say, "Oh, preacher, I don't really know anybody I need to go see." Oh, you need to open your ears. Listen a little closer. Open your eyes. Watch a little closer. It tells on itself. It'll tell on itself. "Preacher, I ain't got the time." Boy, I tell you what, the Lord's blessed us with every hour and every minute. I'd hate to stand before Him at the Beamer seat of Christ, Josh, and say, "Jesus, I didn't have the time."
Help us.
You know what He'll say? "Oh, I know better than that."
That's right.
See, we ain't going to slip nothing by. So why don't we heed the warning? Won't we heed the warning? Let's get to praying for them. Let's get to talking to them about Jesus, and let's get to loving them and caring for them. I'm going to turn the service over to Josh now. That's what God laid on my heart.